Listening Dog Media.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie. Promoting women's football since 2013.
Hello, this is another episode of The Offside Rule where we run through three standout matches from women's football over the weekend. We discuss brokering deals in the Asian player market with agent David Fernhead for In the Spotlight this week. And Tash, as always, has got her weekly scouting report at the end of the show. I'm feeling encouraged. It is an unusual week this week, Tash, because there's been hardly any league football up and down the pyramid. There have been a few matches, but mainly it was an international break. And you've been there. What's it like for players when international breaks are happening and the club players that aren't on international duty? Do you get some downtime or do you have to work harder on yourself, individually?
It's actually the best time, to be honest, Linz. Everyone goes away. There's limited numbers. You can do a lot more one-on-one sessions. The manager normally then gives you maybe like the weekend off where you can go and have quality time with friends, family, and just actually switch off and get away from football. So when I faded away from the England setup, actually, all the non-internationals, we love the international break. And no disrespect to our other teammates. We used to buzz when they used to go away. We used to wave them goodbye very happily.
Yeah, I can imagine. Hopefully not taunt them whilst they're on international duty with beach pics. You know, the sausage leg pictures.
Yeah, absolutely.
Imagine. Get lost. That's what they'd be thinking. But I think internationals for us, and certainly from a women's football audience point of view, it gives us a real insight into who the biggest nations are going to be potentially going forwards, and how many are plugging that gap. I think sometimes the friendlies in particular helps us see what players we've got coming through, but also the ones to look out for when it comes to major tournaments. So your first pick isn't England. We might come on to that. Your first pick is what?
Yeah, I've gone for Netherlands v Spain. You know, it caught my eye. It's obviously huge, the Nations League right now, being able to qualify for the Olympics. If you look at those two nations, you know, you've got the Netherlands, former European champions, Spain, World Cup champions, first in the world versus seventh. You know, it was huge. It was a big game. We were excited to see how it was going to pan out. 3-0. You know, I kind of wasn't expecting that big a scoreline, if I'm being completely honest. You know, if you look at the Netherlands lineup, you know, you've got Miedemar, Martins, Berenstein, Van der Donk, Gronen, Spitzer, Kasperi, you know, all these brutes, these huge names.
It was strong.
But God, Spain just blew them away, to be honest. You know, I think the most disappointing thing for the Netherlands is they held out till about 40 minutes and then Spain got two goals in 4 minutes just before halftime, Hermoso and Bonmatí. And I think that was a killer blow. I think that really took the wind out of the Netherlands. Second half, they came out quite strong. The Netherlands had a couple of half chances, but really didn't threaten too much. It was quite comfortable for Spain. Bagier, ex-United fullback, now Barcelona, she got the third goal after 76 minutes. So Spain qualified for the Olympics for the first time ever, which is amazing. In my opinion, potential winners there straight away. And now the big one is, you know, the Netherlands have to face Germany. You know, and actually before this morning, I would have fancied the Netherlands, but I just read online that Tom Garry on Twitter, he said that Miedemar and Pullover aren't available. They've gone back to Arsenal. So I don't know what the situation is there, whether they're injured, whether, you know, so that's a massive blow for the Netherlands. So now really for me, that game's wide open.
So as you say, Nations League, this one. So it did have that knock-on effect for the Olympics. I think you're right. I think Spain will be favourites, won't they, as world champions as well. 3-0 the full-time score. But I think we have the same conversation nowadays about Spain against teams like the Netherlands, whereby how do you stop them dominating the ball? And I thought this was a cast-iron case of the Netherlands not really adapting to Spain just having majority of possession. And I think you look at a team like the Netherlands, they've got tall players, they've got strong players, they can go more direct, they can use set pieces as more of a weapon. But you didn't see that much of that in this game, I thought.
You know, absolutely right, Lindsay. I think if you look at Spain's starting 11 there, You know, it's completely contrasting effect. You've got possession-based team in Spain, counter-attacking style team in the Netherlands. But I think with the Netherlands, Spain are number one in the world. You know, sometimes you have to respect that. And you don't necessarily have to change your game plan, but play to your strengths. But also, you need to make sure that you counter Spain's strengths. And I think you're right, Lindsay, they didn't do that. You need to make it tight. You need to make it compact. You need to not give Spain time on the ball. And then when you do have the ball, then those are the moments where you do need to be effective with the likes of your pace from Berenstein, from Martins, you know, Miedema dropping into those pockets. And they didn't do that. I think they probably missed Jill Roord in there, you know, that real unit that would normally break things up, does the nasty work. I think she's a huge miss for them. But it just shows right now how far away Spain are. You know, they really are number one in the world for a reason. And now either Germany or Netherlands, a huge nation, is going to miss out on the Olympics.
And I watched this one back and I just thought the first 30 minutes against Spain now, they're the crucial minutes, because if you let them play their style, they're brimming with confidence. They know that they've won big tournaments now. So you can see them as soon as they start to get into gear, you've got no chance. You've got to try from the off to just disrupt that. Like you say, a Jill Roord sort of player that can just get a foot in, stop them doing what they want to do. And it just didn't happen in this. Now, when you think of the Netherlands against Germany, I think of two more similar sides. And you're right, you know, I think Miedema would be a big miss. But ultimately, Germany, I think, have got a bit to prove at the moment on the international stage. So I'd be tempted to think that Germany could do something in this next match. Do you agree?
No, I do. Absolutely. I think Germany right now are going through that transition period, but they still have incredible players within their team. And I think you're right, Lindsay. I think the point to prove is huge. I think that they're a nation that still need to be up there, still need to be competing. And I'm excited to watch this one. I really do think, I think it's going to be a closer game for sure. I don't see a big scoreline like the Spain-Netherlands. I think these two teams right now, Netherlands will be hurting from that scoreline. I don't think they'll be happy with that. So I think both of them have something obviously massively to pay for. The Olympics, every player wants to go to the Olympics. This is huge. So it's all to pay for, and everyone needs to just put their bodies on the line, and then we'll see best team goes through.
We are really going down the pyramid for my choice this week. Ipswich Town 4, Rugby Borough 1. This is the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. And a really interesting game, because Ipswich are trying to chase down those above them. And for anyone who's unclear of how this setup works, you've got Southern and Northern Premier Division, and then the winner of each could face each other to go up. It's my pet hate because it happened with Southampton and Wolves. But you've got to look at the teams in these lower divisions to know who's got the potential of coming up and sustaining a little bit of a period, hopefully, in the Championship. And I think Ipswich Town are a club that could do it. They seem to have a lot of investment. I think whilst the men's side's going well as well, they're putting a lot more emphasis as well on marketing and advertising what's going on with the women. In this game, it was interesting because they started off and you thought, oh, they've got a top scorer, Natasha Thomas, and I thought she was going to run riots. But she missed a few chances early on. Then there was a sending off for Rugby Borough in the 34th minute, and it changed everything really in this game. So I think the sending off is the thing that's probably affected it. Angela Dixon, for a challenge, she got sent off. But looking at it, I do think that Rugby have got something that they can take away from this. They had their only attack and they scored. Now, I don't know whether that says more about Ipswich and their defence, but they were clinical. But in terms of Rugby Borough, I mean, they're a smallish side, really. And I think they're punching a little bit. And they will have known that Ipswich Town would have been a real challenge for them in this game to try and overcome. But they didn't help themselves by going down to 10, unfortunately. It would have been a better illustration if they'd have had 11 still on the pitch. But I think for Ipswich, they can chase down those above. I think that's what this has gone to prove. And I really like a few of these players in this team as well. There was one player in particular, because I know Natasha Thomas probably gets a lot of plaudits for Ipswich, but Lena Gunning-Williams is a player that I do want to mention, as well as Natasha Thomas for Ipswich. Just within seconds, Tash, of coming on, I don't know how many times you've done this, she goes and she scores. I love seeing that when a sub comes on and then immediate impact. I think she might have had a touch before she scored, but certainly hadn't been on the pitch very long. So have you done that before?
I was always on the pitch, Lindsay. You know me, I wasn't coming on.
Ah, there you go. Not in the latter years?
Maybe more so in the latter years, yeah. No, but I was just going to say, Natasha's, we're always goal scorers, aren't we? So, yeah, nice to hear another Natasha bagging goals for Ipswich.
Well, yeah, she is their top scorer, so do look out for her, Natasha Thomas. But I'm going to give that shout out to Lena Gunning-Williams for scoring after just coming on. Plaudits to you. We've got England next. Tash, you've chosen this one. England 7, Austria 2.
Yeah, look, you're always keeping an eye out for England to see how they're getting on. I know it was a friendly, but I think with some of the names that were included within the squad, Grace Clinton in particular, Park getting another call up. I was excited to see some fresh faces coming in and players that deserve to get the call up, been performing really well at club level. And I always, from past experiences against Austria, there have been tight games. You know, I remember in particular the Euros opener, 1-0,
the Bethany
goal, and it was so tight that game. Yeah, and even the World Cup qualifier was only 2-0. So I thought this is going to be a really tight competitive game. 7-2. Wow. Okay. So. That I didn't expect at all. Let's get Austria out of the way. I was disappointed in them, to be honest, really disappointed. I don't know whether a case of they're going through a transition period, but it wasn't the Austria that I've been used to watching, you know, over the last couple of games. But you've got to give England massive credit. You know, they were absolutely relentless from start to finish. You know, 4 minutes straight away, Russo gets her goal. It'll be really good for the likes of Russo and me, confidence-wise as well, both getting a brace there. But, you know, I've got to talk about Grace Clinton. You know, she got her debut for England, started the game, just did not look out of place one bit, got her debut goal, incredible. You know, for me right now, I'm thinking if I'm Man United, I don't know what the situation is there with her loan move to Tottenham, but I'd be doing everything I possibly could to be getting her back to Man United. I mean, I know she's happy as Spurs, she's playing, she's getting minutes, but how United aren't looking to try and get her back. I mean, let's watch this space. Really, really good game. I really enjoyed it. I loved, you know, Carter getting a little improvised goal from Rachel Daly coming on, doing that, what she does, heel, scoring. Yeah. Yeah, the back heel. And she just styled it out
so
casually.
She didn't celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking, don't be too cool for school. Like, if I was scoring a goal like that, I'd be going absolutely wild. So,
especially as a defender.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, brilliant. So, no, look, I think in the next game, they've got another friendly against Italy. So there's rumours that there's going to be more changes again, people getting minutes. But it's just great. It's great to see. And like Spain, England are in a really good place right now. You know, we know England's starting 11 is solid, but I think with the likes of your Grace Clinton, your Jess Parks, the depth of squad now, we spoke about Nikita Paris a few pods ago, you know, doing well for United, can't get herself into this squad. So I just think it shows, you know, the talent and the pool that we have in this country. It's really exciting.
Who excites you more for England? And you've got to consider position as well and what England need. Who excites you more as someone who could break through, Grace Clinton or Jess Park?
Oof, that's a great question. Okay, truthfully, oh, Lindsay, that's really tough. I'm going to have to go with Clinton, I think, purely because when I look at the attacking flair that we've got for England, Park to me is one of those. You know, I think she's been playing in that number 10 role for City, you know, assisting, getting goals. We know she can play out wide. But I do think we're really, really blessed with the wide positions and the forwards for England. You know, but with Clinton, I feel like we're probably not missing, but we probably, except for Georgia Stanway, someone that's like kind of box-to-box midfield player, can play in that holding midfield role, very technical, can put herself about, can score a goal. You know, you look at Kira Walsh, she is that sitting, that specialist number four holding, you know, and then you've got your Toon, who's that out and out number 10. I feel like Clinton has everything. You know, she likes to drop in deep to get on the ball and to help kind of Stanway in that deeper role the other night. But then you see with her goal, you know, she wants to get forward. She wants to get on the end of crosses. She wants to be, you know, getting involved in the goals. So I think really she could be, you know, that kind of number eight now. You know, if Kira Walsh needs a bit of a rest or Stanway, you know, Stanway can drop in. You could see she can drop into that four now. There's more. I think we needed more in midfield. And I think Clinton is a big boost for England now in that midfield position.
And Georgia Stanway, it's not just for England that she's been asked to drop into this deeper role. She's been doing it for Bayern Munich as well. I've got a feeling, though, that she's wanting to do that role too, the one that you just spoke about with Grace Clinton. She's wanting to get forward. She's wanting to score goals if she can. And part of the reason why she left Manchester City, was it not, was so that she could play in the role that she wanted to. Do you think that there's an acceptance from her that that's a role that needs filling and she's the one that's capable of doing it, so she doesn't mind dropping deeper? Or do you think secretly she probably would like to be doing the same and getting forward more?
Yeah, I think it's funny with Georgia Stanway, and you've got to give credit to her because she can do both of the roles. You know, you see the other night she did the Keira Walsh role really, really well. Her passing range is phenomenal. She's comfortable wherever she can receive the ball on the pitch. And actually, she's playing that role for Bayern Munich, which I wonder how she is feeling about that, because when I've watched her at Bayern Munich, she actually does play that deeper role, which, again, we said that she kind of wants to get away from at City. But I just think because she is so technically gifted and her passing range, you know, she can play the big diagonals, the Steven Gerrard cross balls, but she can also play, you know, those kind of penetrating passes. Her vision is brilliant. So I think, you know, she's one of those, I think she's just so gifted that she's kind of been able to play both. And I think it's a good option. I think it's the option that Serena wants, is that Keira Walsh ideally is going to be that number four. And now she's got someone, Grace Clinton, who can learn a lot from Stanway. You know, I do think Stanway will still be, you know, that starting player for England. But she's got that competition, which is healthy. You know, these players can't just think that they've got this position guaranteed. You know, there has to be that healthy competition. And if anything, I think this will kick Georgia Stanway on now, knowing that she's got someone young like Grace Clinton, who does have everything and has a great career ahead of her. And, you know, there's no reason why Grace Clinton can't potentially even play in that 10 role. You know, I think probably that 10 role is the most open position right now for England. You know, I think Toon's had an up and down season for Man United, you know, played well the other night for England. But Fran Kirby, unfortunately, you know, with her, she is injury prone. So there's that kind of space there as well that Grace could easily fill into. So I think it's, there's a lot of rotation that can happen in that midfield.
And to answer your earlier musing about Austria and why you felt that they struggled this time, I think that was the answer. It was what happened down the middle, because I think Austria know what England's strengths are, and they knew that out wide they were going to have basically 90 odd minutes of just having to cover that all the time. And what they did is they left the gaps in the middle, didn't they? And they just never learned from it. I think that Georgia Stanway and Grace Clinton in particular were able to mop up a lot of balls in that midfield area. They lost it in midfield for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Lindsay. And that's a great saying, is that you win or lose your game in midfield. It's always been the case. You know, you have to win the midfield battle first and foremost. And then I think that's when you can start expressing yourself.
Okay, well, we'll move on to In the Spotlight.
The Offside Rule. With Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie.
For our In the Spotlight section this week, we've got David Fernhead joining us, who's from Transition Sports Management, and we're taking a focus on the Asian player market. David, thank you very much for joining Tash and I. And we're going to talk to you in particular about the Asian player market, where you've had so much success. But it'd be great to know your background and how that came about.
Yeah, well, I started actually in the media side of it. I was working for Blackburn in their media setup, and sort of segued into journalism, and then started working with agents through knowing players, and started on the men's game. And then in 2000, I worked on the Sydney Olympics, and I got to film all the men's games, but also film all the women's games. And it was the women's game that sort of left a lasting impression, because I was just amazed by how good the top players were. So that planted the seed. And then it was maybe 15 years later, when the WSL was really starting to explode and get going, that I sort of made the segue into starting working on the women's game, and I've never really left it since. It's always been a passion project for me as well.
We will dive deeper into some of the deals that you've done, but just to give us an example of some of the names that you've worked with, specifically in the Asian market, the players that most people here would recognise.
I think G's probably the biggest name. Just done recently, her deal, where she actually left Korea and gone to Seattle Reign. I brought Cho So-yeon over here, originally to West Ham, then to Spurs, and now at Birmingham. And Lee Goo-min's another one that I brought over to Manchester City, who's now with Brighton. So those are probably the three most identifiable ones. And then I brought over Cho Yu-ri from Birmingham as well.
No, brilliant, David. And I just think it's great, the players that you've worked with. And I was really fortunate enough to play with many Asian players throughout my career. Kill me with the pronunciations, but I was with Yui Hasegawa at AC Milan, incredible player. Nagano, Fuku Nagano at Liverpool, and then Gion Gayul, I think.
I brought her over.
Oh, okay. Well, I played with her at Melbourne Victory in Australia many years ago, and then at Reading. And, you know, I had, though, for me and the relationship I had with all of them was great, but I probably had some more positive and maybe negative experiences with regards to Yui, for instance, at AC Milan. She massively struggled to the point where, I can be honest, like there'd be times where she was crying in the shower at half time of games. That's how much she really struggled with the language barrier, I feel. But then I see her really thriving at City. Fuka fitted in like a glove at Liverpool, and I think that's maybe the effort that the club have made, but also what she's made. Gion, for me, really struggled at Melbourne Victory with the language and at Reading, to the point where I think the coaches almost gave up on her a little bit with that kind of language barrier. Maybe that's why she left. Like, so my question to you is, like, what is the secret in it being successful and it being more of a positive experience than a negative?
Yeah, I think you've got to tackle it from both sides. You've got to tackle it from the player and also the club that's bringing her in. I think, you know, when Cho came in to West Ham, Cho's attitude is fantastic. She just really wanted to sort of assimilate and learn as quickly as she could. But she also had a manager like Matt Beard who was just so supportive, which I think is why Fuka's done so well at Liverpool as well. Is, you know, she turned up and Matt had a little app on his phone that where he could translate into Korean and made an effort to make sure that she fitted right in. And you know, I think that's part of the key as well, is that, you know, as coaches, you have to also take the responsibility, because there's a lot of players coming over, the young women, you know, completely foreign surroundings, foreign settings. You know, I do my best to sort of communicate with them as best I can, also to sort of form a group bond between the players, the Korean players certainly in England, and get them speaking to each other, which helps. But it is very stressful. It's the two languages are completely different. You know, there's nothing. It's not like where you can say like there's French or Italian where there's sort of a common base. The languages are completely different. And I think the other thing as well for players, it can be a little bit harder to assimilate, because I think there's a false belief in Asian players as being technical but quite weak. So they tend to get bullied, or people try to bully them, which we've seen with the players that I've brought over. But you know, if you look at the sort of likes of Cho and Che Yuri and Lee Goo-min, the physical, they can look after themselves. And I think that's a big part of it, is just those early days, you're just kind of standing up to it. When people come in doing, you know, giving you a little bit of a niggle in the tackle, thinking that you're going to be soft and roll over, is just to give them a little bit back.
I would have loved to have heard Matt Beard trying to speak Korean. He can just about speak English, so that would have been great.
Yeah, well, it was really funny, actually, because, you know, yeah, he'd speak to her, and then she'd have to look at Russ, who was the general manager. Russ would have to translate it into English.
Oh, yeah. So, The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie.
Tash's scouting report next, and she's been very tight-lipped about this one. The only thing I got on message was German forward. So I'm hoping you can give me a name, some data. Oh. Why have you gone for a forward again, Tash?
Honestly, you know me, Lindsay.
Mind you, it's a difference from midfield.
Yeah. So I was going through all my contacts and I was thinking, right, I've given you Swiss. What else have I given you? Italian, Spanish. So obviously having Nicole Rosler on the other day, I thought, right, let's get in touch with Nikki, see if she's got any up and coming talent within the Bayern Munich setup. And I said, it has to be a forward, defender or goalie, because otherwise I'm going to get in trouble from Lindsay. So she gave me a forward, Lindsay, but I just have to say she can play in midfield as well, but she's a forward.
Oh, okay.
So she's called Alara Schitzler. So that's how you pronounce it. I asked Nicole Rosler. So she's 17 years old, under 20s at the moment with the German national team. Very strong, very technical. So she signed for Bayern Munich this summer with the first team. Before that, she played with boys. Nikki says very similar style, actually, to Georgia Stanway and Melina Lupos. So perfect style for the English league. So I was asking her, you know, if she did come over to WSL, what team do you think she'd fit into? She thinks Chelsea, but ideally they want to keep her at Bayern Munich because they do think she is going to be the next big superstar centre forward for them. So Alara Schitzler.
Oh, I like that. Right, we will make sure that we take a note of that name for future. Alara Schitzler is your one to watch, emerging talent. That's all we've got time for, though, this week. It's whistled by again, hasn't it? Thank you very much, Tash. We'll have the mailbag, though, back on Friday. We should remind people that if anyone has a question for us, if you've got an observation from the women's game, something you want to get off your chest, do get in touch at Offside Rule. We're on X, Instagram, and TikTok, where you can find us. I've even on my own page on X, I've pinned to my profile to leave your comments, and then we'll find out an easier way going forwards as well to get all of your voice notes through, because it's a bit back and forth at the moment. We'll work on that. But Tash, thank you for this week, and I'll see you again next week.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The Offside Rule. This is a Listening Dog Media production.
Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.